Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Today on Words of Grace, we want to begin playing for you a message that we delivered at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church entitled His Story. His story being an obvious play on the word history, and our focus will be on the various theophanies of Scripture, that is to say, when God revealed himself to human beings, when, as we will see today, the Lord Jesus, even prior to his incarnation, appeared unto men and communicated with them. From this, we'll see that despite the fact that the various men and battles came and went, it was the same God whose agenda was being played out in the world as God revealed himself to human beings. After all, this is his story. Here's part one of this message.
In my sermon last week, which was to give us examples that depict prayer, we considered the account of Jacob in the Old Testament wrestling with the angel. And as I remarked, that opinions are divided over whether he wrestles with the angel. Now, Hosea referred to that man that he wrestled with as an angel. You remember that the Genesis narrative said he wrestled there with a man. But many theologians describe that as an incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as you read that account, one common opinion of that is that Jacob is there wrestling with Jesus more than 1,000 years before he was born of a virgin, and we refer to those as pre-incarnate manifestations of Christ. Another example that we recently used along those same lines is when God came down at the building of the city of Babel, at the building of the Tower of Babel. God comes down and he beholds, and as he beholds what they are doing, he judges them, and the judgment that he sent into that city was confusion of languages so that people could not communicate, and they would be driven away from one another. They would be scattered through the world, as was God's will for them to be scattered through the world. Now, in both of those examples, arguably, Jacob wrestling with the angel is Jacob wrestling with Christ, a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. And then you have where the Lord comes and beholds what happens at Babel and then judges them. You have occurrences of God coming down and appearing to mankind. Our message this morning is entitled, His Story. And if God would be our helper, I want us to consider such pre-incarnate manifestations of God when God appeared to men in the Old Testament. Now, there's a very important reason for me to be bringing this to your attention today, and I would ask that you would pray for me as I share these thoughts with you. The technical theological term for a pre-incarnate manifestation of God is a theophany, and that's actually a term that is used not exclusively in Christianity, but in other religions as well. A theophany is when God manifests himself to human beings. Now, obviously, we understand that God is the only true and living God, but you do find that term used outside of the scope of Christianity. Theophany is when God reveals himself in person, in a physical manifestation. The root of that, of course, is the Greek word theos, which is the word for God. Now, as we begin speaking about theophanies, and we want to get done with the preface as quickly as possible to look at several examples of this from the Old Testament. As a point of doctrine, every single time that God has manifested himself in human form in the world as a man, that manifestation of God was and is Christ. And so in every occurrence of a theophany that we will consider today, Christ is manifested to human beings. Now, why do I say that every time in the Old Testament that God reveals himself and speaks to a man as he wrestled perhaps with Jacob, or as he beholds the Tower of Babel, as we talked about Wednesday night, why do I say that every occurrence of God coming down and appearing as a man is Christ? It's a very simple reason. According to the book of John chapter 1 and verse 18, and according to the book of John chapter 6 and verse 46, no man has seen God. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is God. Yes, absolutely. But Jesus reveals himself to us in the form of a man as he was in his incarnation. Now, when Jesus was incarnate, great is the mystery of godliness. Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh, verily man, verily God, completely human, but at the same time completely divine and deity. But we understand through the teaching of Christ that as he became a man, as the Word took on flesh, he laid aside the glory that he had with the Father before the world began. He condescended to such a low estate. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Philippians, but he humbled himself and he took upon the form of a servant. And so every time God reveals himself to man in the Old Testament or the New, it is as Christ when he had laid aside not his nature of God, not his deity, but his glory. He humbled himself and he revealed himself to us in a way that we could see, that we could understand. John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In other words, the Son of God, we have not seen God face to face, but the Son of God has revealed him to us. So what we understand of God has been revealed to us through the Son of God. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If we have seen him, we have seen the Father. According to Jesus, we have seen God through him. In the book of John chapter 6 and verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. No man has ever seen God the Father. No man has ever seen, this side of death, the Godhead. And of course, we understand the Holy Spirit is a spirit. No man has ever seen the Holy Spirit in the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has appeared in a couple of different forms. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit appeared as cloven tongues of fire over the men which did proclaim his word. And of course, in the book of Matthew, as Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ in the form of a dove. But as far as the Holy Spirit being seen in all of his fullness, no man has seen the Holy Spirit. According to God himself in the book of Exodus chapter 33, you might remember this, as God has given the law, or is giving the law, he's already given the Ten Commandments, Moses is upon the mount, and Moses asks God, show me thy glory. I want to behold your glory. And that's a prayer that every pastor has for the people that he serves. Lord, show them your glory. As God responds, he tells Moses, first of all, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, why does that sound familiar to us today? Because that's what Paul quotes in the book of Romans chapter 9, speaking of God's sovereignty and salvation. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Then he saith, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We cannot behold the face of God and live. And so what we have seen of God is through Christ every human manifestation of God has been in the form of Christ. Every time we see the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, appearing to man in the Old Testament, then, it is Christ Jesus. Now, again, Christ is completely God. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning God, and yet he was in the beginning with God, John chapter 1. And so he is deity, he is divine, but he has laid aside his glory. He has humbled himself. He has become man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. And so all of these theophanies, if you will, are Christ manifest as a man to us. John 5:39, Jesus speaks to a group of Jews, and he says, "Search the Scriptures," and at this point in human history, the Scriptures were the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. They understood that there were many writings that had been given that were not Scripture. Oh, they had all of these writings of men, but Scripture to them was Genesis through Malachi, and he tells them, "Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, but listen, they are they which testify of me." Now we have defined our, or titled rather, our message today, His Story. And what we want to do with that, using the Old Testament as our example and our guide, is to point out that human history is His story. And so we want to make a play on that word history being His story. History is His story. Now, to be very clear, in the English language, the word history doesn't come from two words, His story. No, it comes from a Greek word. In fact, the Greek word today is historia. It comes from a Greek word that means originally wisdom, and it came to have reference to people who would tell the facts of the matter. And so history today is the record of the facts of the matter. We know what the word history means. But what an interesting fact that in our language you can take those two words, His story, and you can think about the fact that history is just that, His story, His story. We have a very grand opinion of ourselves. There will come a day when you and I are dust. Perhaps there will be a granite monument where that dust lays. But if the world continues long enough, there will no longer even be a granite monument. We all love to think of grandiose delusions that 300 years from now, people will know my name. They'll know your name. They'll know your story. And maybe God will raise some of you up in a way that history will remember you and regard you. And I pray that it is kind to us. We know George Washington. How much do you really know about the man? Not a lot, but you know his name. There are people that are mentioned in Scripture occasionally. Jesus would encounter someone and he says that as long as the world stands, people will speak of this person's faith. A little testimony, but what do you know about that person? Hardly anything at all. Parents, siblings, children, occupation. Our stories are lost to time. Rewind history 150 years. No one is alive today who was alive in the 1800s. Think of the countless millions, yea, billions of people who have lived in the world, and their stories have all come to an end. And yet the same Christ who was ruling and governing and revealing himself to men then is revealing himself to men today. Because this is His story. not mine, not yours. It isn't a history that belongs to the United States or to Western society, but it is his story. It belongs exclusively to Christ. And throughout all time, he has revealed himself to men. He has governed. He has caused his purposes to come into the world. He has caused. He has suffered things to be. But in all things, he has reigned. And he will continue to reign because this is his world. He alone has eternity. He alone has power. He alone should receive all the glory. As we fight down here for all the power and wealth and prestige that we can muster, and we grope in the dark, as Isaiah 59 says, at power and might and will and way and desire, he alone is sovereign. Why do I have this thought in mind today? All of human history had one purpose: to glorify God through his Son, Jesus Christ. On every page of Scripture, in every chapter, in every book, whether in Scripture or human history, the entirety of our existence has been about him. Now, that's not to say that everything glorifies him, because we know sin doesn't glorify him. We know that's the great assault of Satan against him. But the entire existence of this universe is for his glory. It is not about us. It is about him. The story, as we'll see today, involves God leading his people through history to their ultimate deliverance. That's where it applies to us in our message today. God reveals himself. He does so here and there. To borrow language from other scripture, here a little, there a little. He reveals himself from time to time. He manifests himself among men, leading up to the grand manifestation of himself. As he took upon flesh, he walked among us. God did speak in times past by the mouths of the prophets, but in this day he has spoken unto us by his Son. God has come in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and today we wait for his second coming, when everything, every power, every authority, every might, every wisdom, every philosophy will be put down, and he will reign forever on high as he reigns today. But in that day, to be glorified among his people fully, his enemies finally, ultimately, and everlastingly banished from his presence in judgment. I remind us all of this today because there are many troubled hearts and there is much uncertainty in our world. I want to look today, then, at times when God personally visited mankind. And as we see these events, these sometimes very brief occurrences in Scripture, what I want it to remind you of is the fact that God is with his people, and his people belong to him, and we don't have to worry, because he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord. He changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You say, well, what if we're persecuted? What if we lose rights? Did you know that Paul and Silas, with this perspective in mind, could sing praises to Jesus after being beaten and imprisoned in a jail cell at midnight? God sends an earthquake. They don't even leave. The keeper of the prison's about to kill himself. They say, do no harm. We're all here. They go preach to the guy, baptize the guy and his family, and the next day go about their business preaching the gospel. Why? Because they were not concerned with Rome. They were concerned with the gospel of Christ. When we talk about Christianity being a counterculture, we're not talking about it being a voter block. That's how sociologists and political scientists talk about counterculture. No, we're talking about a group of people that transcend all the trouble of this world because we are members of a different nation than this nation. And we need to understand it. As we look today, I want you to keep two thoughts in mind. God reveals himself most manifestly, in times of deliverance and in times of judgment. Sometimes, deliverance and judgment simultaneously. The first occurrence that we want to consider today is quite literally in the beginning. I turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and while God had revealed himself to Adam prior to this, to give you the context, God has created the world. On the seventh day, he rested. On the sixth day, he created man. He gives him a command, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat, you'll die. He speaks with Adam. He sends these animals through to Adam. Adam names all the living things on the earth. Causes Adam to fall asleep, takes a rib from his side, makes this woman Eve out of the rib, presents her to Adam. She becomes his wife. Satan beguiles Eve. Eve eats and gives this fruit to Adam, and he did eat. Their eyes were opened. They knew that they were naked. The innocence had left. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And notice verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Who's here? God is here. When God appears in the form of a person, it is always again Christ. This is Jesus. Now, he hasn't been born into the world and named Jesus yet, but this is Jesus. This is Jehovah. But when Jehovah reveals himself to us, it is the Word that was made flesh, the eternal Son of God. They hear the voice of the Lord God as God is walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They're hiding. They're ashamed. And they're afraid. From sin forward, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God calls unto Adam. He says, Adam, where art thou? Adam says, well, I'm hiding. Well, why are you hiding, Adam? Well, I'm naked. Well, why are you ashamed that you're naked, Adam? Now, God knows everything. But so many times in Scripture, God will converse with us, so we have to have the conversation. You parents know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's pretty easy to see, yeah, you did that, right? And you have the conversation, so they have to acknowledge to you what they have done, and you can tell them what's going to happen to them. Adam, where are you? Well, I'm hiding. I was afraid because I'm naked. Well, who told you that you're naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And of course, Adam does what we always do. He shifts blame. Well, the woman that you gave me, she did give me eat and I ate. Adam, you're the head of your house. This is your responsibility. Don't blame it on your wife. The old saying, the buck stops here. That's a saying that fathers and pastors need to understand. We're responsible. It's the thing that politicians need to understand. We're responsible. Political leaders need to understand. We're responsible for what happens under our watch. There are things that are out of our hand, but the buck stops here. Adam, the buck stops here. Well, the woman. No, don't blame it on her. Don't blame it on her. God begins to question each of the parties, and he begins to give curses. God appears. What is this a case of? Judgment. God manifests himself and judgment comes. At the same time, as God comes down, you also have the promise of deliverance. How do you know that? Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. This is speaking to the serpent. Between thy seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, seed singular, it, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, read this language very carefully. This does not say there will be enmity between men and snakes, and snakes will bite the heels of men, and men will crush the heads, plural, of snakes. There is a seed of the woman who was coming who would crush the head, singular, of the serpent. God shows up in judgment in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he preaches his own gospel of redemption. Jesus would come to crush the head of the serpent. This is teaching even the virgin birth in Genesis 3:15, because it's not the seed of the man, which every other occurrence of genealogy in the Bible refers to, but this is the seed of the woman, the virgin born Christ, the Messiah, would destroy the head of the devil, of Satan, of the serpent. And so God comes and he reveals himself to men. This is Christ speaking to them. And in this message, he preaches his own gospel of redemption and victory. With the judgment also came the promise of salvation. Another thing that God does for them here in verse 21, unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. This is God preaching his gospel by way of type and shadow, if you will, foreshadowing what he would do. The fig leaves that Adam and Eve made would not clothe their nakedness, but God slaughtered an animal. Something had to die to make a lasting covering for Adam and Eve. What is that pointing towards? Christ dying for our sins to cover us with his righteousness. God is proclaiming his gospel all the way back at the fall of man in the book of Genesis. Eventually, this would come to an end as the Lord God says he has become one of us. As one of us, God speaks to himself in the plural, and yet God is described in the singular. Have you ever noticed that? The Lord God is one God, and the words that are used to describe him are thee and thou, and they're singular in the original language and in our language. And yet when God speaks to himself, let us make man in our image. To whom is God speaking? To himself. Why does God speak to himself in the plural? Because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three that are one. There are not three gods, but God is three in one, the Trinity, the triunity. All the way back in Genesis 3. By the way, in Genesis chapter 1, the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God said, that's the word of God, the Spirit of God did move upon the face of the waters. The Trinity is in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. God never changed. It was revealed over time. It was more clear over time. What God is never changed. He's immutable.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. Address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.